sermon this morning, I want to go back to something we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. My overall theme was, what's the big deal about small groups? What's the big deal about small groups? We talked about how the church through the years has gathered together in larger settings like this, but also in smaller groups. And I want us to talk once again about the power of that. But let me define the term first. There is a sheet of paper you can pick up at the back. We gave these out a couple weeks ago, but you can pick up one if you'd like. It just kind of defines what I mean when I'm talking about small groups. A small group consists of generally 3 to 12 individuals who meet on a regular basis, for the purpose of building community. Small groups are unique based on their makeup and main goals. Small groups can consist of any and everyone who wishes to attend, but they can also consist of individuals with something in common. Couples, all male or all female. Karen talked to you about our ladies' Bible study group that meets, for example, and Sheila also hosts a female group. All youth, unmarried, senior, students, the possibilities are endless. These are called affinity groups. They may also consist of those who just want to study the Bible, or maybe those who want to pray on Wednesday at 1:30 at Hilkas. We have a group that comes together, and we come together just to pray. We believe in the power of communal prayer. Or maybe those who have a heart to serve the community or the church. Small groups are often defined by their main goal, a Bible study group, a prayer group, a fellowship group, and so on. The beauty of small groups is they can meet anywhere, in a church, at a home, in the park, in the library, and so on, and at any time that is convenient for the attendees. Here at our church, we have a number of small groups, and we'll be promoting them over the next few Sundays, so watch carefully for that, which meet on a regular basis. If you'd like for more information on how you can attend a group, or you would like to know more about the groups, you can contact our worship pastor, Roger Mott, or myself. Or if you are interested in hosting a group, maybe you'd like to lead a group or open up your home for a group, please feel free to talk with me about that. So that's kind of our definition, our starting point. As Baptists, not only do we like to get people wet, but we also like to ask the question, what does the Bible say? That to me goes to the heart of what it means to be Baptist. And so we spent some time talking about, what does the Bible say about this idea of small groups? And we learned that it had a very sound biblical foundation. We looked at a number of things that the Bible teaches us about the value of coming together in small groups. But to me, the clincher is this. Jesus was a small group leader and a small group attender. Jesus attended a small group. You remember his small group? We know him as the disciples, right? Those 12 men that he's poured so much of his life into, spent time with. Jesus was a small group leader and a participant. We've seen how small groups are vital. They're vital to our individual spiritual health, and they're vital to the spiritual health of the church in general, not just our local church, but the church universally. Today, as we continue with that thought, I want to talk about why we, once again, why we need to be part of a small group and why a small group needs you. Why do I need to be a small part of a small group? Why is it important to me? Well, one of the things we've seen and I've experienced in my own life is that a small group is a place for encouragement. How many here have ever needed to be encouraged? Have you ever needed to be encouraged somewhere in your life in the last 40, 50 years? Have you ever needed to be encouraged? Most of you are lying. I can see that right now. Right? We all need to be encouraged once in a while, don't we? Don't you get discouraged? We get down. We get confused. We just need somebody to come along and lift us up. We all need that. Maybe we don't want to admit to it, but we all need it. Church, the family of God, is one place where we should find encouragement. Hebrews 10 and 25, we read this. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We come together to be encouraged when we come as a family. We encourage one another. We saw a couple of weeks ago in Acts chapter 2 a description of the very first Christian church. We saw that the Christians gathered together in large groups, but primarily they gathered in small groups in homes to encourage one another. Small groups are a great basis for encouragement because it is in small groups that we learn what the needs are and we can encourage in an appropriate way. So I need to be in a part. I need to be in a small group because I need encouragement. I also need to be in a small group because I need a safe place to find the answers to my questions. We all have questions, don't we? We all have questions. We may not want to admit it, but we do. We have questions about the big questions, the big difficult issues of life. We have questions about faith. We have questions about how to apply our faith to our daily lives. In small groups, we can find the answers to our questions because we believe that there are answers, that those answers are in God. They're revealed to us by His Holy Spirit. They're revealed to us through His Word. They're revealed to us by His Holy Spirit in each other. So as we come together, we learn. As we come together, we begin to understand some of the hard questions of life. I need to be in a small group because I need an answer to the questions in my life. And I also need to be in a small group because a small group is a place where I have my needs met by people who care. Next week, we're going to begin a series of sermons based on the one another directives of the New Testament. We're going to see how church should not just simply be a place we attend, but church should be a place where we find family, as Maria has said already so beautifully this morning. A church should be a place where we find love, where we find care, where we find encouragement as we come together in the name of Christ. It's in a small group we find people who can help us and can offer us care. Paul states it this way in Galatians 6. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. But you know, to care for one another in real and genuine ways, we have to know each other's needs. And how do we get to know each other's needs? It happens in small groups. It happens around the kitchen table. It happens around the prayer group. It happens around the Bible study group. That's when we truly get to know one another, to know each other's needs. And then when we know each other's needs, we truly can care for each other. So I need to be in a small group. I need to be encouraged. I need answers to my questions. I need to know that people care. And I also need to be in a small group because a small group is a place where God can use me, can use you, to bless and serve others. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. We've been talking about how in a small group we can be served, but also in a small group, we can use the gifts we have to serve others. We can serve others. So I need to be a part of a small group because of what it does for me. But I also need to be in a small group because someone needs me to be in a small group with them. You need a small group. I need a small group. Because you're needed in a small group and because someone needs you. Have you ever thought about it that way? You know, we often think about how we need the church and we need each other and how true that is. But have you ever thought about the fact that someone needs you? They need you. We need each other. Someone needs your love. We're going to talk about this at length next Sunday. Someone needs your love. Love is the mark of the Christ-filled church. Jesus said this, "By this will everyone know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And the evidence of love for God and the love of Christ within us is love for each other. John was very frank about this in 1 John 4. John said, "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have not seen cannot love God. Whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." According to Paul, it is love that guides our treatment of each other. For example, in Ephesians, in his letter to the Ephesians, he writes this, "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love." Someone needs your love. And someone needs your help. You know, love is practical. Love means reaching out in real ways and showing support and help to others. Love isn't about our claims of love. Love isn't even about our feelings of love. Love is about how we treat others and how we reach out and bless others. Love is practical. It means helping others in real and effective ways. Many years ago, I came upon this scripture back in the Old Testament in the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes was written by the wise King Solomon near the end of his life. It's a fascinating book. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. Maybe someday we'll have an opportunity to study it together. But one thing that Solomon writes is this. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and who has no one to help them up. Someone needs your love. Someone needs your help. And did you know that someone needs your counsel? Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, says this. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. With all the wisdom he gives. The scripture tells us throughout the Old and the New Testaments, if we lack wisdom, seek it from God. And God will give us wisdom. But what Paul is telling us here is that as he gives us wisdom, we have an opportunity and a responsibility to share that wisdom with others when asked. Someone needs your counsel. Someone needs you to help them to understand life and God and their walk with God. Someone needs your counsel. And someone needs your encouragement. I said, I need to go to a small group. I need to be part of a small group because I need encouragement. But that obviously means that I need to be an encourager. I need to be able to encourage someone else. You may remember in the book of Acts, a man by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas. We're told in Acts 4 and 36 that the disciples referred to Barnabas, he had a nickname. And the nickname was this, Son of Encouragement. Son of Encouragement. Isn't that beautiful? What a way to be known. The disciples were saying, if you need to be encouraged, go visit Barnabas. If you need to be lifted up, go spend some time with Barnabas. He's an encourager. It's not the way you want to be known. We want to be known as encouragers. We want to be known as people who lift each other up so that when people go from our presence, they're strengthened. They're strengthened and they're blessed. Someone needs your encouragement today. Someone needs you pulling for them as they navigate the turbulent waters of life. Someone needs your love. Someone needs your help. Someone needs your counsel. Someone needs your encouragement. And did you know that someone also needs your rebuke? In Ephesians chapter 4, in his letter to the Ephesians, Paul says, let us tell our neighbors the truth. What he's telling us there is that the mark of genuine love and concern for others is being willing to tell them the truth. And even if need be, correct them if they're on a destructive path. I'm thankful for some people in my life who will just tell me the truth. Right? Because they love me. They don't want me to go down paths that are destructive. They'll tell me the truth. Someone needs you to be that person in their lives. Someone needs your rebuke. And someone needs your friendship. Someone needs your friendship. By God's grace this morning, we are children of God. By God's grace this morning, we are brothers and sisters with Christ. We are co-workers with Christ. But don't forget that Jesus also said of you and me, I now call you friends. We are friends with Jesus. Amen. He is our friend, and we are his. Amen. And someone needs your friendship. Just as Christ is your friend, someone needs your friendship. Someone needs you. Why do I need to be part of a small group? There are so much value in coming together on a regular basis with small groups of believers, with a common desire, a common direction, a common will, a common tie in Christ. That's why I need to be as part of a small group, because of its blessings, but also because I can bless others. Let us pray. Our Father, Lord, I thank you this morning for those people in my life who have shown me love, who've been there to help me, who have counseled me, even corrected and rebuked me at times. I thank you for my friends. I thank you for this fellowship at Burnaby North. I thank you for the opportunity to come together with God's people. Father, we know there's power in your presence as we come together in unity. Father, bless us with these truths and draw us before you, we pray. In Jesus' name.